And we're just going to go straight into this class for today. Father, thank you that revelation knowledge is gifted everybody in this class. The eyes of our understanding flooded with light. Clarity comes by the teaching of your word. We decree that an army of men and women are rising out of this academy that will shake the nations, that will preach the gospel, that will raise men and women, that will establish the glory and the kingdom of our God. And we rejoice that even in this class tonight, there's no error in this environment. Light shines in our hearts. Your people are built up, equipped, edified, and Jesus is glorified. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let me begin by announcing that my new book just came out today. I'm sure you saw the adverts I did. All of these are materials to equip all of you to be able to stand complete and perfect in all of the will of God. I just started writing two new ones yesterday. I'm doing a book, a follow-up on what I just did. But the one that came out today is the gift of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. How to effectively interpret tongues, how to get people baptized with the Holy Ghost, how to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how to interpret tongues, experimenting the things of this. I mean, very powerful, practical material that will help you operate the gifts of God and edify the body. And I'm doing a follow-up. I just started working on that. I want to talk about these fake, false prophetic ministries that are all over the place, damaging people. I want to talk about soothsaying, divination, sorcery in the name of prophecy. I want to expose all of those from scripture and doctrinally deal with this whole concept of nonsense prophetic ministry. So there's a book coming out. It's going to be a very brutal, very, very brutal book because I want to put an end to that nonsense they're using to damage people. Then I'm also doing another book on the integrity of God's word. The Father's signature. It's going to be very brutal. So much is going on. We're traveling, we're teaching, we're preaching, we're building, we're equipping, we're writing, we're everything. We're committed until the whole world is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. We leave no stone unturned. We want to make sure that everybody is sound, everybody is equipped. I want to make sure that if you are deceived, it's because you chose to be deceived. It's because you deliberately accepted deception, not because you were ignorant. So that's where we are. All right, let's get in the class. Week 42 today. And in week 42, we're examining. In week 42, we are examining. What do you believe? What do you believe? The objective of today's class is to highlight the importance of a minister's training and conviction in fulfilling the ministry of Jesus. That's the objective of today's class, to highlight the importance of a minister's training and conviction in fulfilling the ministry of Jesus. There is a need for much more reorientation of what ministry is for younger ministers. There is a need for a much more reorientation of what ministry is for younger ministers. Some have libraries full of all sorts of books by various authors, and most of whose only assent was Jesus is our Savior. In fact, how this is hardly agreed with by most. You go to somebody's library, you see books by these prophetic preachers all over the world. You see books by prosperity preachers. You see a few theological books. You see a lot of motivational books. You see a lot of eschatology books. All of them are a bunch of confusion all over the library of a man of God. And this surely is a product of a dysfunctional system. You attend a Christian program filled with several speakers with varying and contradictory teachings where they are supposed to preach Jesus. They come and preach the order of Melchizedek and they focus on tithe and offerings. The idea back then was just get results, Get results. That was the idea back in the days when they invented all those. You're doing a program, you bring 10 guest speakers. You bring a program, you bring 7 guest speakers, 20 musicians. I was there. I did all those rubbish. I never saw spiritual growth in anybody. We wasted money. We wasted thousands of dollars. We wasted people's strength because people have to dance because praises must go up for blessings to come down. We did all of that because that's what we knew and we thought that was the best. Unfortunately, in today's church, younger ministers coming up are still trying to copy that trend, that failure trend that some of us operated when we were still growing in the days of our ignorance. We then saw a generation who got results of crowd, massive structures, miracles, most of which were by trial and error, hit and miss it. Many or even most I knew and still know have no regular or consistent theology, nothing systematic, nothing definite. If what's reigning is wisdom, everyone preached it. Deliverance, anointing, we all preached it. Prophetic, we all preached it, just to name a few. Sad to say, many were half-baked doctrinally and made every attempt to dissuade emphasis on correct Bible interpretation. Even till today, there are people who hate me because of sound Bible interpretation. They want everything to go. They don't want boundaries. They don't want borderlines as to the use of scripture. They just want the scripture to just be everything goes. And so they feel irritated when we insist on correct Bible interpretation. And back in the days, they were quick to call all those half-baked doctrines revelations, and the teachers, theologians. In Paul's letters to Titus and Timothy, doctrine, teaching was arguably his most quoted word, doctrine, in Timothy and Titus. It is not unfounded to hear men whom we must still hold in high regard. Despite this, we hear them make absolutely incredible statements. You hear them say, when faith fails, you trust God. Trust will never fail. What is that? When faith fails, you trust God. Trust will never fail. This is obviously made either in ignorance or deceit. You know, I believe the former. Yet many will hear this and affirm it because he has a large church. Or you hear them say the fall of Adam and Eve was that they ate tithes. And people will take it because they have a big church. Or you hear the other one who said it was because Job didn't pay tithes that he was afflicted. And then when you pay tithes, you insure your life. But when you give offering, there is no insurance. And people take them serious. These are clowns. These are pulpit clowns. These are just clowns, funny guys. Now, before proceeding, I frown and I'm wary of ministers who preach either consciously or unconsciously against numerical growth and influence. If you're not pursuing numerical growth, then you do not have Christ's vision. God gives increase. What God wants is all nations, all the world. Now, all nations and all the world, that's huge. That's very huge. However, we must be careful how we do this. Brother Paul warns in 1 Corinthians 3:10, but let every man take heed how he builded thereupon, not at the cost of truth. Do not sacrifice the doctrine of Christ for growth. I repeat, do not sacrifice the doctrine of Christ for growth. I repeat, do not sacrifice the doctrine of Christ for a pulpit somewhere where you want to preach. Again, we had a generation that was not mentored in doctrine, hence cannot mentor anyone with such. I show that when I hear of church growth conferences, many are full of non-biblical opinions. Again, the same trial and error versions. Be careful, because you cannot give what you do not have. Let me backtrack a little. In the 1970s and 80s, there was what was called the Scripture Union, SU. They did a great job earlier on, but somewhat a revival came that swept its relevance away. It seemed proponents of that revival felt that SU were too rigid on doctrine. In fact, it was given a nickname. They might have been right about some of its emphasis, sounding legalistic. But again, we often throw away the baby with the bathwater. With this came a contempt for Bible teaching. With this came a contempt for Bible study and Bible schools. In fact, since most leading personnel then hardly had formal Bible and ministerial training, they went out of the window and threw out of the window the need for systematic theology. Systematic theology. Such revival, though, of God, but since men always were stewards of God, more had the evident traits of human bias and weaknesses. Correct Bible interpretation back then was trashed. A great number could not handle simple, rightly dividing of scriptures. No distinction or grasp of the Old Testament and New Testament. They didn't understand the epistles. In fact, the epistles, everybody avoided because it looked like rocket science. Since, as it were, the crowds then were pulled because of other spiritual things besides spiritual growth. Seeming churches with Bible study emphasis had whittled down influence. I must note, however, that a church stood out amongst many others in Nigeria, and that church was the Deeper Life Bible Church. It had the largest single congregation in Africa, and this was from Bible study meetings. You may not accept several things taught, but you sure saw a diligence with scriptures. As the revival continued, more programs, events had to be held to sustain the crowd. And this is still the model today. Since many had no clue about discipleship, which only happens by teaching, they could only give what they had. It was not difficult for success motivation to gain ground. Since no foundation was built, things kept being redone. Gradually, you could not tell a believer from others, even a preacher of Christ from others. We all sounded alike. Take note of this. Discernment is only available when there is sound teaching. I repeat, discernment is only available when there is sound teaching. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 to 14, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 to 14, where Brother Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians 4, 13 and 14. Brother Paul says to that church in Ephesus, in Ephesians 4, just hold on for me a minute, Ephesians 4, 13 and 14. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. To and fro. This is the experience of trying to get result from reading after men of different persuasion. But your motivation is just success. It was not difficult to grow churches without prayer and evangelism. Just do what everyone does. Once again, the word will bring increase, no doubt, but painstakingly. Because gradually, the word gains ground gradually, and the supernatural helps it to gain more ground. Why am I saying this? Because I am involved. This revival needs another revival. Since we jettisoned Sunday schools for convenience, first service, 45 minutes, and that became the vogue. we started shortening services, particularly the sermons for more praise worship, less prayers. In fact, many sermons are not Bible teaching. Rather, they are seeker-friendly meetings. When that began to happen, we invited trouble. We began to have mixed multitude in churches, and we began to have prayerlessness. Then the next thing we had was absence of spiritual growth. We had mixed multitudes, prayerlessness, and the absence of spiritual growth. I honor that generation because I learned a whole lot from it and will be forever indebted. I mean forever. Grace received too. Hands were laid on me through it, and it has left indelible marks on me. However, it is pertinent. It cannot go beyond its limits. Hence, I do not hold many responsible for these issues. To continue with these imperfections will be insanity. Before you start a church, what do you believe? Before you pastor a people, what are your persuasions? Who taught you? What training do you have? What do you believe? What are your persuasions? What are your convictions? Who taught you? What training do you have? Those are the questions. Have you taken time to fully learn doctrine, not partially, fully learn doctrine? 2 Timothy 3:10 says, "But I was fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience." 2 Timothy 3:10. Or you want to use the flock as testing grounds? Because if this is not done, you will use the same templates that we're just trashing now, where you have plenty programs. There are some churches, every Sunday is a program. They have a guest speaker. So when does the pastor pastor the people? Numerous speakers, then they use them to grow the church. Study what big churches are doing and they copy it. But let me warn you, the time span for that vogue is thinning out. You can see the day is over. It's over. Every child of God must aspire for genuine spiritual growth. You must be well grounded in God's word. Find a pastor. Find a teacher you will learn fully under, not fishing around for doctrines. If closing a work had to do this will help, then a pastor may have to just close the work, close that church. I have seen pastors who closed down their churches, left the church, closed it down, dismissed everybody, and came and sat down to learn doctrine. Another question will be, stop trying to replicate programs done by others. The question will be, did you hear from God? Dear fellow minister, did you hear from God? And you must take these words, because these are very serious words. You must know them so that you can be able to counsel other people. Because all of this is for us to be equipped. To be equipped. That's the whole essence. To be equipped so that we can be a blessing to others. Equipping is very critical. Because we live in days where everything goes. It's very, very critical that you are equipped, because I'm telling you what God is doing in a short time from now. I've told you before and I'm telling you again. A lot of you will pastor pastors. You will disciple so many of these big, big men of God. They will come under your discipleship classes. Because the times have changed. I know those who made those lapses were not in error, as many of them did not know any better. You might be shocked they will not be judged for those errors they made. And I'm talking about the genuine ones back then. Because in the times of ignorance, God overlooks. But see, you that is in this class, you have no excuse. So don't be in a hurry to grow a church. Campus coordinators here, and those of you that will start campuses, those of you who are pastors of churches here, don't be in a hurry to grow a church. Be in a hurry to grow spiritually. If you will be in any haste at all, let it be haste for spiritual growth. And you know whether you're growing spiritually by asking a few questions. How's your spiritual life? How is your Bible study life? How is your prayer life? Can you do evangelism? Do you know how to take notes? Have you been taught how to preach and teach? Those are questions you cannot afford to compromise. Those are questions you cannot afford to compromise. Those are questions you cannot afford to ignore. Pastor Jessica, can you hear me?
Yes, Papa, we can hear you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Those are questions you cannot afford to ignore. Those are the questions you ask when God is building you up for effective ministry. Let me repeat the questions again in case I was in a hurry and some of you didn't get them. Number one, how is your spiritual life? How is your personal Bible study routine? How is your prayer life? Can you do evangelism? Do you know how to take notes? Have you been taught how to preach and teach? Because a fresh generation is emerging. The word of God well taught, the word of God well received and understood, the Spirit in awesome demonstration. Walking in love is our culture. Prayer is our dependence. We know how to be led by the Spirit, not vogues, and the church growing spiritually and numerically. The church growing spiritually and numerically. We're committed. There's a fresh generation of men and women emerging. And all of you know what I'm talking about. There is a new generation of people that are on fire with the gospel. On fire with the gospel, and you are part of that generation. This world has not seen anything yet. Guys, Lekus kapato bele de bereketina malata. Jojokula managengle ne mombro da bola ta begere de sikele de babra gados katala da baya. Mengo juka kakale neme keretu sika bala da bare gedis katala na maya. An army of men and women are rising. You are part of that army. Together we will manifest the days of Jesus on the earth like never before. And like never before, we will manifest the glory and grace of God. Men will be raised from every part of the earth. Oya, Kelita, Moraka, Tominga, Latina, Koroto, Sakaya. And all of you in this class will put in the sickle and bring in the harvest. Yeah. You will do ministry like you have never imagined. You will do ministry like you have never known. You will do ministry like you have never dreamt, because these are the days. These are the days. The small among us will be mighty. Yeah, and the impact of your ministry will not be denied. It will last and last and last. And yeah, the body of Christ will be the better for it. Believers will rejoice and be glad. Uh-huh, that's right. And Jesus will be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I pray for this academy tonight. I pray for every man and woman of God in this class that no one stumbles. No one is left behind. No one is deluded or deceived. Oh yeah, Jesus, you say, all that the Father has given to me, none is lost. So Father, I ask that you keep each one here. Preserve each one in this class. That together we serve your purpose. We serve our generation with your mandate. That together we serve you in the gospel of the Son. Together we manifest all that you have put within us. We rejoice, Father, for the privilege to co-labor together with you and serve your purpose to a world that don't know it. We give you praise tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, amen. Glory to God. Woo, I tell you, I'm excited, guys. All right, take the following assignment for this week. The assignment for this week. Question number one. Should a minister of the gospel want numerical growth and influence in his ministry? Should a minister of the gospel want numerical growth and influence in his ministry? If yes, are there limits and what are they? If yes, are there limits and what are they? Question number two, highlight lessons learned in the revival that swept the relevance of the scripture union in the 80s, just from what I told you. Highlight lessons you learned in this class, in the revival that swept the relevance of the scripture union in the 80s. You hear me?
Yeah, Papa, can you repeat it again?
Okay, question number two or three?
Number two.
Okay, good. So question number two, highlight lessons learned in the revival that swept the relevance of the scripture union in the 80s. Highlight lessons learned in the revival that swept the relevance of the scripture union in the 80s. Question number three. How is discernment promoted among believers? How is discernment promoted amongst believers? How is discernment promoted amongst believers? Question number four. What advice will you give a young minister who intends to start a church? What advice will you give a young minister who intends to start a church? Now, those are the four questions for your assignment. Those are the four questions. And that's it for me in this class. And I'm ready to answer questions tonight.